had a study on spiritual gifts, and I don't remember how long it's been since we've had a fairly thorough study on spiritual gifts. So we're going to use this next few weeks, Lord willing, to take a look at spiritual gifts. Turn it with me, please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. We're going to use this one verse as a jumping off point. I know it's not necessarily, this verse isn't necessarily talking specifically about spiritual gifts proper spiritual gifts, but it does say a truthful thing about spiritual gifts in general. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." And the truth that I want to see in that verse is, as every man hath received the gift or a gift, okay? Every Christian has a spiritual gift. Every Christian should properly understand his or her spiritual gift. When we use our gift properly, and this is important, get this statement. When we use our spiritual gift properly, it causes great spiritual excitement and genuine fulfillment in our spirit. You say, I don't feel very fulfilled. I don't feel very satisfied in my Christian walk. Well, maybe it's because you have not been using your spiritual gift. Because when you do, it gives you a great fulfillment in your walk with the Lord. Okay? It causes great spiritual excitement and genuine fulfillment in our spirit. And we are motivated by that excitement and satisfaction to greater commitment and service to the Lord. Okay? We are motivated to better serve God and to serve God in a greater way when we use and utilize our spiritual gift properly. Okay? All this simply by the proper use of the spiritual gift that God gave to us. So using our spiritual gift is important. It's very important. All right, let's open with a word of prayer, please. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and thank you for the instruction we find. Father, I pray that you bless this time as we begin this a little series on spiritual gifts. Father, may it bring honor and glory to your name. Help us, Father, to learn how to use our spiritual gift. If each one of us or someone doesn't know what their spiritual gift is, Father, I pray that you would help us during this time to be able to help one another discover what that is. And Father, help us all to learn how to use our gift. We ask these things in your precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so first thing first. Like I said, every Christian has been given a spiritual gift. As this verse indicates, verse 10 again, "As every man hath received the gift." So if you're born again, then the Lord Jesus Christ bequeathed you a spiritual gift. Just as when you were born physically, you were born with certain natural abilities. So also when you were born again spiritually, and we were born into, you were born into God's family, then he bore you into his family with certain spiritual abilities to be used within a local church. And the local church, we know, as we've already studied, is the body of Christ. God gave you a spiritual gift to use within your local church, the body of Christ. And the gift or gifts that he gave to you are usually different, not completely different necessarily, but they will be different from other Christians' gifts somewhat. There is some repetition here, okay? I'll explain that later. But turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And verse 6, Romans 12, 6, the Bible says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us." Okay? So the Bible says that we are going to have different gifts than another person. Okay? So your gifts are probably pretty different than the person sitting next to you. All right? And I'll get into that later on. But every Christian, if you are born again here tonight, you have been given a gift by the Lord Jesus Christ, a spiritual gift that he intends for you to use. Secondly, As we've already indicated from our introduction, joy comes from exercising our spiritual gift. Joy comes from exercising our spiritual gift. The Greek word for gift is charisma. Charisma, of course, where we get our other words, charismatic and so forth. But charisma, he's got great charisma. That's the Greek word for gift. And that word, charisma, comes from at least two other words. The first word, the first root word is char, or char. I'm not sure how to officially pronounce it, but C-H-A-R, C-H-A-R. And that word, char, or char, means joy, joy, okay? And then charis, charis, is the word for grace. So charisma, or gift, has joy and grace, okay? And by the way, what is a good definition of what our grace is? We know what God's grace is, the Lord Jesus Christ, and salvation, and everything that goes with salvation, right? That's God's grace to mankind. But what is a believer's grace? What would be a good definition for a believer's grace? Well, I believe a good definition would be God giving us the desire and power to accomplish His will. If we are to show our grace, if we are to show grace to another person, it would be God giving us the desire and power to accomplish His will. That's a good definition of a believer's grace to somebody else. But charisma, charis, is the word for grace. And char, or car, is the beginning of that. So joy is a part of the believer's grace. Okay? When you share grace, you get joy from doing so. And joy and grace are part of charisma, or our spiritual gift. Okay, so we enjoy, we share grace and we get joy by using and utilizing our spiritual gift or charisma. Okay, and spiritual gifts, turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Spiritual gifts is how this verse here becomes a reality. Philippians 2, verse 13. This verse becomes a reality when we use spiritual gifts, okay? Philippians 2, 13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." So if we are properly using our spiritual gift or charisma, then we will be using grace. We will have joy. And our grace is God giving us the desire and power to accomplish God's will. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Okay, so joy comes from using our gift. Thirdly, finding true personal fulfillment is only possible by developing our spiritual gift. You see, each one of us are born with an innate desire to have meaningful achievement in our life, for our life to mean something, in other words. The ultimate of this is us having a significant part in God's eternal program. That would be the ultimate of my life meaning something, that my life had something to do with eternity. Okay? And so, and God's program, God's eternal program, is being carried out through, today, the church, the body of Christ, by the proper functioning of each person's gift. And so, since we all have that desire for meaningful achievement, we only get true personal fulfillment when we use our spiritual gift properly in God's eternal program within the church. That is when our spirit becomes satisfied or fulfilled, okay? So you can search all over the world for fulfillment. And if you're a believer, it's found in using your spiritual gift in the house of God, or at least within the ministries in the house of God. Fourthly, each gift is designed to perfect the body of Christ, the local church. Each gift is designed to perfect the body of Christ. Just as there are varying functions in the members of our body, hearing in the ear, seeing in the eye, different functions in the members of our body, so each Christian has a particular and necessary function in the church. And if we fail to exercise our gift in the church, this weakens the ministry of the church. The church gets weaker. The outreach gets weaker. The effect of the church gets weaker in the community. Not only does the effect of the church get weaker in the community, but not exercising our spiritual gifts robs us and those around us of joy and grace. And so the church, which is supposed to be utilizing its charisma, no longer has charis, joy and grace, when we do not use our spiritual gift, okay? So it not only weakens the ministry of the church, it robs the church of joy. It robs the church of grace. So we need to be using our spiritual gift. It's what causes, it's one of the things that causes an exciting life in the church. Number five, God wants each of us to understand that this gift that we have came from Him. He gave it to us, okay? This gift is a gift from God. It's a free gift. When you got saved, it's not something you earned. It's not something you deserved. It's a gift, just like salvation was a gift. And if we are to use our gift as instructed in Romans 12 and elsewhere, we must first understand what that gift is that God gave to me, what it is that God gave to you proper, okay? And also, this is very important as well, if we are to have harmony with others within the church, we must understand what the particular functions of every gift is, so that we understand, well, where's that brother or sister coming from? Well, they have this spiritual gift. And so they have these inclinations and these insights, okay? So harmony is increased when all of the church understands about spiritual gifts. Number six, in order that we all are becoming that perfect man. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I was supposed to read this verse before I said that statement, so it doesn't make too much sense right now. Ephesians 4, 13, in verse 11, it's talking about a part of spiritual gifts, and it says, and He gave, talking about God giving gifts and God giving offices and people jobs within the church, and He gave, and verse 13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So God gave us spiritual gifts in order to perfect each one of us into that perfect man. Okay? So, in order that we all are becoming that perfect man, God has given, I wonder if we know, God wants us to become a perfect man, and so He gave how many spiritual gifts? And the key idea there is perfect man. How many spiritual gifts do you think God would have given to us to create in us the perfect man? Seven. Very good. Very good. Seven, the number of perfection or the number of completion. God has given seven spiritual gifts. Okay? Now, there is the probability that He has given more than one of those gifts to each one of us. There is that probability. Okay? Because if we only had one spiritual gift, then that means there's only seven within this group of about 40 people. And that's those seven gifts would be repeated and repeated and repeated. Alright? So it's highly probable that God gives us at least a primary gift followed by a secondary gift. If not, a hint of a third. And so seven times seven, that opens the possibilities up for at least 49 different combinations of spiritual gifts. And if He gives us a hint of a third, well, there's 49 of those two and 49 of those two. 49 times 49 is 2,401 combinations of spiritual gifts if God gives us a hint of three. A primary one, a secondary one, and then a hint of a third, okay? I don't know how many there are. I don't know how many varieties of these gifts that there are for sure, but I think there's at least a combination of them, okay? There's probably more than just one that he gives to each one of us. After all, Romans 12:6 says, having then gifts, plural, differing according to the grace that is given to us. So there's probably a great deal more variety of gifts within each church than just seven. Okay? There could be 49, there could be 2,400 blendings of these seven gifts. But whatever possible combinations there may be, there are seven main spiritual gifts of the Spirit. And they are found in Romans chapter 12. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Okay? There are seven gifts of the Spirit, and if the Lord gave us a secondary one within this list, then the number of gifts, the number of combinations of gifts is exponentially multiplied. Okay? Seven spiritual gifts, and they're all found in this list right here, Romans chapter 12 and verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Okay? So the seven spiritual gifts are prophecy. Number two, ministry or serving. Number three, teaching. Four, exhorting. Five, giving. Six, ruling. And seven, mercy. Number one, prophecy. Wait a minute, Pastor Derek. You've told us multiple times that the gift of prophecy has ceased. The gift of prophesying has ceased. The gift of new revelation has ceased. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay? New revelation has ceased. But there is a different definition, a New Testament definition to the word prophecy or prophesying that applies to this gift, the gift of prophecy. Okay, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Where am I? One page too few. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Notice it does not say whether there be prophecy, it shall fail. It says whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. So prophecies or new revelation has ceased today. But the gift of prophecy is different than new revelation, new prophecies. The biblical definition of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, is found in 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Why would the Apostle Paul tell Christians throughout the rest of the church age that we should desire to prophesy? Well, because the gift of prophecy doesn't cease. Verse 3. Here is the biblical New Testament church age definition of prophesying. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Okay? That is the New Testament definition that applies to the gift of prophecy. Someone who has the gift of prophecy speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. They do not have new revelation anymore. Okay, so if you wanted to concise the definition of what is the gift of prophecy into two words, the gift of prophecy is proclaiming truth. The gift of prophecy is proclaiming truth. Secondly, what is ministry or serving? Well, it's God has given to some of us the heart of a server, the heart of someone that ministers to others. They have a heart to meet practical needs. A heart to meet practical needs. Okay? If there's something to be done, they're the first persons that jump up and do it. If there's an accident in the kitchen and something gets spilled all over the floor and they know about it, they run to the scene and they fix the problem. They have a heart to serve. That is the gift of ministry / serving. Teaching, the gift of teaching. And by the way, you could also say that prophecy, some preachers get involved in talking about the style of preaching that preachers do, and they say that, well, that preacher, he's a preacher. That preacher, he's a teacher. Okay? Well, prophecy is kind of that way. Prophecy is more of a preacher style of preaching, whereas the gift of teaching, that's the guy who, when they say, well, that preacher, when he preaches, he's always teaching. He's a great teacher. Okay? So prophecy and teaching are kind of like that. Prophecy is the gift of preaching in the formal sense of the word, as far as the idea of proclaiming truth. And then there are the preachers that are teachers. And by the way, these are not just for preachers and the leaders of the church, okay? Anybody can have the gift of prophecy. Anybody can have the gift of teaching, okay? But I'm just trying to explain the difference between the gift of prophecy or preaching. He's a preacher. He's a preacher, and that preacher, he's a teacher, preacher. Okay? The gift of teaching is clarifying truth. That's what the gift of teaching is. They clarify truth. They lay it all out, and they explain the differences, and they're teaching a truth. Okay? Prophecy is to proclaim truth. They're not too worried about the nitty-gritty and cut and dried and comparing and contrasting. They're just going to give you the truth. And there it is. Okay? So that's the big difference between prophecy and teaching, or preaching and teaching, if you will. And then exhorting. An exhorter wants to stimulate faith. An exhorter wants to stimulate your faith and my faith. That's what an exhorting is all about. A giver, or the gift of giving, they look at it as entrusting assets. They're not too concerned about the amount, because everything belongs to God. And so if God told them to give something away, it's fine. God just wants me to transfer assets to this other person. So the gift of giving is they want to give assets to other people. Entrust God's assets to other people. The gift of ruling, well, it's kind of like helps or governments is another. We're going to get into those words later on next week or the following weeks. But those aren't the actual gift. Those are the way you use the gift or the ministry in which you use the gift. Ruling, though, you could say it's a help ministry. It's a coordinating ministry. It's a governmental ministry. You are coordinating efforts. Coordinating efforts. Someone who has the gift of ruling is good at coordinating things and getting things done. Getting things done. The gift of ruling. Mercy, the last one. They have the desire to share in the distresses of somebody else. The desire to share in the distresses and relieve distress. The gift of mercy. Okay? We're going to get into these more specifically next week. But these are the seven motivating gifts. The seven motivating gifts of the Spirit. And the title of the message tonight is Our Spiritual Gift is Our Spiritual Motivation. Okay? You say, that's why I introduced this lesson as saying, well, if you don't have much of a desire to do something for the Lord, then you need to listen to this message, because your spiritual gift is your spiritual motivation to serve God. Okay? That's your spiritual motivation. That is why you do what you do for God. You see, somebody who has the gift of teaching, they just desire to share the truth and explain the truth to everybody. And they get a big motivating kick from doing that. That is like the cat's meow to somebody with the gift of teaching. They love to teach, okay? That is what motivates them to serve God. They want to teach. Somebody with the gift of prophecy, they want to proclaim truth. The funnest thing, I believe I have the gift of prophecy, and it's not because I think so, it's because others have said things. And I love to proclaim truth. One of the big reasons why I'm a pastor today is I love proclaiming truth. It motivates me to share truth with you. Okay? So your spiritual gift is your motivating reason why you do anything for God. Okay? So if you're not using your spiritual gift, you're not really motivated. You're lacking motivation when you don't use your spiritual gift. So if you're wondering in your life, boy, why don't I have that desire to do something for God that people keep talking about in church? You need to get a hold of your spiritual gift. Your spiritual gift is your motivation to do things for God. Okay? So these are the seven motivating gifts of the Spirit. These gifts are the reasons we serve the Lord. These gifts answer the question, why are you doing that? Because it just blesses my heart to prophesy. Or if you have the gift of giving, why are you giving $10,000 away? That's crazy. It just blesses my heart to do that. If you have the gift of giving. Okay? These things are what motivates you to serve God. Okay? They answer the question why your spiritual gift is the reason why. Your spiritual gift, whether it be prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, mercy, that is why you do whatever it is you do for God. It's because you get a big blessing, a big blessed jolt, if you will, out of doing those kind of things for those very reasons. Okay? You love to proclaim truth. You love meeting practical needs. You love clarifying truth. You love stimulating faith in others. You love entrusting assets to others. You love coordinating efforts. You love sharing in distresses and relieving distresses in other people. These are your motivations. Okay? You need to understand what your spiritual gift is. It is very important that you understand why you would want to do anything for God. Okay? And if you understand why and act thereon, you will be motivated to do more and motivated to do more. It'll be a blessing to your heart. This is real, down-to-earth things, Christian. Okay? These are the motivating gifts of the Spirit. By working with our spiritual gift, it causes us to have a huge spiritual blessing, causes us to have huge spiritual fulfillment. And boy, if you feel fulfilled, then you're going to want to do it again. And you're going to want to do it again and again and again. Okay? They are the motivating gifts. They are the reasons we serve the Lord. But then I want to stick in a caution right here. We should never, never, ever, ever, ever become overly concerned about which spiritual gift is mine and which ones were not given to me. Okay? In other words, we should never allow ourselves to become proud of which spiritual gift I have and never allow ourselves to be jealous of, well, I didn't have that one. I sure wish I have that one. Pride should never be allowed to enter into this subject of spiritual gifts. Never. Pride will destroy your ability to use it properly. It just takes it away immediately. You cannot use it properly with pride. Okay? Secondly, every believer was given one, so you have no right to be proud of it. You have no right to be proud of it. You didn't earn it. Jesus gave it to you at salvation. How dare you be proud of it? Okay? Not only that, but every believer was given one. So what do you have to be proud of again? Nothing. Nothing that anybody else has except a different twist of a spiritual gift. But you should never be proud about something everyone has been given and something that you did not earn. Okay? So never, 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 never allow pride into this equation. It destroys the effect. You can't even use it properly. It's ruined. So never become overly concerned or proud about which one you have. And, never become jealous of somebody else. You don't need to be jealous of a spiritual gift that someone else has. Why? Their spiritual gift is just their motivation. And God gave a motivation to you. So you don't need to be jealous of their motivation for serving God when He gave you a motivation for serving Him. There's no cause to be jealous there. Okay? Furthermore, we're going to discover in our study, in our series, that you don't have to be jealous of anybody else because the ones that you didn't, that you weren't given, we are to earn and learn how to do that. So if you mature properly in Christ, you will eventually have all seven and have no need to be jealous of anybody else. Okay? So God gave you one or two or three, at least a hint of at least two probably. But you're supposed to capture all seven and earn the rest of them that you weren't given. We're commanded to earn or learn them, if you will. All of the ones we aren't given, and thus end up possessing all seven of the spiritual gifts. Okay? So there's no reason to be proud. There's no reason to be jealous of somebody else. You are supposed to learn how to use all the spiritual gifts. They're supposed to become yours. Number 9. Simply knowing which of the seven motivational gifts of the Spirit is your gift is just the beginning of learning how to use it properly. Okay? Now that I've explained the seven motivational gifts, let's turn to the three main passages on spiritual gifts. Turn to Romans chapter 12, first of all. Romans chapter 12. We've read most of this already, but I want to read it again now. Romans 12, 4 through 9. This is the one passage that explains the list of the actual gifts. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Notice he all at the end of all the end or the beginning, I guess it's the beginning. No, it is the end. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. At the end of all of each one of these lists, he jumps into, but I want to show you a better way. Love. Love. 1 Corinthians 12 jumps right into the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 12 ends with, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So the spiritual gifts are important, and spiritual gifts need to be used. But the best thing, the best gift you can give a person is love, okay? So don't forget, as we're studying these gifts, there is a even better way. And it's not a gift, it's a choice. It's a choice. Love is a choice. To show love to those around you. Okay? But Romans 12, 4 through 9 is the actual passage that lists the seven spiritual gifts. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4. And I want us to notice verse 4, 5, and 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, and we've already looked at them, the seven gifts. We're going to look at them again next week. But the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Okay? Differences of administrations. Administrations is a ministry. There are different ministries within the local church in how you use the gift. Okay? And there are diversities of operations. Notice the word operations. It's a fancy word for working. How to do something. How to use it. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Okay? So there are diversities of gifts. We saw the seven. There are differences of administrations, different ways to administer or to minister them to others. And there are different uses, different ways to use it, different operations. Okay? And verse 7. So, from verse 7 on, he is not giving us a brand new list of gifts. The one and only list of gifts is found in Romans chapter 12. We've looked at that. What he's doing is he's, in 1 Corinthians, he's explaining to the Corinthians, there are different gifts. If you read Romans 12, you know what all the gifts are. And there are differences of administrations, and there are different diversities of operations. And now I'm going to tell you about those two, is what Paul is doing here. And so in verse 7, he begins with the last thing first. He begins with, there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So operations is talking about using it, working it. Verse 7 begins, but the manifestation of the Spirit. What is manifestation talking about? The outpouring of it, the working out of it, the way it looks, the working of it, the usage of it. Okay? So operations and manifestation are two words that are meaning the same thing. He said, I've given you the list of gifts in Romans chapter 12. Now I'm going to give you the differences of administrations and the differences of operations, and I'm going to give you the operations first. But the manifestation or operations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh, notice that word, worketh the operation of the gift. All these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And then he goes into talking about all of us are one body in Christ and members one of another again. Skip down to verse 28. He has given us the list of the operations of our spiritual gifts that we can use, how we can use our spiritual gift. And now he's going to give us the ministries in which, the ministries of the church in which we can use our spiritual gift. Verse 28, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Wait a second, what is he doing? He is listing the offices of the church, the early church specifically, because of the apostles. He's listing the offices of the early church. But what does it mean if there is an office that needs to be filled? What does that mean? It means there's a job that needs to be done. There's a job that needs to be done, otherwise there wouldn't be an office to fill. Okay? So, some of these offices have disappeared. Apostles has disappeared. But the job is still there. Okay? The job is still there. And the ministry of the church. The ministry of the church. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No. But there is still the job of the apostle to do. Are all prophets? No. But there is still the job of the prophet to do. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? No. Do all interpret? No. But there is still these jobs to do in the church, okay? That is why there was an office to be filled. There was a job to do in that office. In verse 31, he says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And he goes into love again, or charity. Let me give you this idea here. And God has set some in the church first apostles. Well, we know that the apostle, the office of apostle, is no longer. Once the 12 apostles died, that office, God didn't want that office filled any longer. But what did we learn in our study of Acts that the word apostle means? The word apostle means sent one, or sent forth one. Okay? There is still that job that needs to be done. There is still a sending forth of Christians that needs to happen. It's part of the ministry of the church. We are to send forth, A, missionaries into all the world. B, we're supposed to send each one of us into our community. Okay? The office is no longer filled. The job is filled by every single one of us. Okay? So, this is a ministry of the local church. Apostles, missionaries. Missionaries sent forth once. Secondarily, prophets. Again, you could insert the word preachers. Preachers. The ones that are proclaiming truth for proclaiming truth's sake. Okay? And then there are thirdly, teachers. The ones who are clarifying truth for the sake of clarifying truth. After that, miracles. Wait a minute, Pastor Derek, I thought the gift of miracles ceased. Yes, the gift of miracles ceased. The office ceased, but there's still a job to do. Did God get out of the business of performing miracles? No. How can we be a part of the ministry of miracles in the local church? Prayer. You can pray. You can be a prayer warrior. God still does miracles. God still does things. Nobody can explain why it happened, but it did. And if you are a prayer warrior, you can be involved in that ministry. Okay? Then there are the gifts of healings. Hey, I thought healings quit. The ability to heal, that gift of healing, the proper gift of healing did quit. But again, did God get out of the business of healing people? No, sir. No, sir. No, ma'am. God heals both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Still, again, can you be involved in that? Well, if you're a doctor or nurse, you could be a physical part of healing. If you are trying to encourage somebody, you can be a part of emotional or spiritual healing. Yes, these are ministries of the church. They're still needed today. Okay? So these are the ways, the ministries that you can use your spiritual gift in. Okay? Helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Again, tongues has ceased. But there are people like Brother Bill Patterson who can speak 8 or 9 different tongues. He's gifted in a way with language beyond what most people are gifted with. And he is using that to the way God wants him to translate the Bible. Okay? So all of these work within the church and within the kingdom of God, even as Brother Bill Patterson is translating Bibles into other languages that are outside his local church. But he's working at what God wants him to do. Again, are all apostles, are all that in that office? No, of course not. Are all prophets, are we all in that office? No, but there is still the ministry to do today. Okay? So there are 7 motivating gifts: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and mercy. Those are why we do the things we do. And then we are supposed to do them through these other ministries. And we are to work them out, work out our gift by the first list here. For to one, is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Verse 8. This is how you use your gift. After choosing which ministry you're going to be involved in the church. Am I going to be involved in the prayer warrior ministry of praying for a miracle for that one person? And so if I choose that ministry, then it's going to look different how I operate my spiritual gift. My spiritual gift is going to be used in prayer alone before God. Nobody's going to see me use it. Only God is going to see me use it. And it's going to require, verse 9, the way I use my spiritual gift is going to require faith. If I'm going to be involved in prayer, and that's going to be the ministry that I use my spiritual gift, the operation or the working out of my spiritual gift is I am going to have faith that God answers prayer, or else I'm not doing any good. Okay, so there are spiritual gifts, there are ministries within the church to go through to use your spiritual gift, and then there's how do I use my spiritual gift in this ministry. Okay, and we're going to get into all of that in a bigger, deeper way in the next few weeks, okay? So those are the main passages on spiritual gifts, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 and 11, and then 28 and 31. Again, 1 Corinthians is not naming new gifts. That was already done in Romans 12. It is introducing the idea that there's administrations or ministries to use your gift in, and there is the proper way to operate or work out your gift in that ministry within the church. Again, that's found in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 6. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God, which worketh all in all. So in closing here, simply knowing which of the seven motivational gifts is yours is just the beginning of properly using your gift. Not only do you need to know which motivational gift is yours, you need to understand it, okay? And that's where we're going to begin next week. We're going to pick up here with the characteristics of the seven, of the seven gifts, understanding our gift, okay? You need to know which motivational gift is yours. You need to understand it. Then you'll need to know about ministries of the church to use it in. And to use your spiritual gift, you will need to decide wisely, prayerfully, which ministry of the church to use it in different instances. And lastly, you need to know how to use your spiritual gift in that ministry of the church. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn how to use our spiritual gifts properly. Father, it is a huge blessing to those around us. It is a huge blessing to ourselves when we use our spiritual gifts properly. So, Father, I pray that this series is on spiritual gifts will be a blessing in a great way to many of us, Father. And I pray that you'd bless it. And, Father, we just ask you that you would be with us now as we bring our petitions before you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.